Hour number two of the Chase and Big Joe Show. Judy Riddle in for Chase McCabe. He will be back tomorrow, but we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every single day for all of our day shows, Monday through Friday. It is that time of the week. For the next 30 minutes, we are now welcoming in legendary Houston media member John McClain from Sports Radio 610. Good morning, John. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Now, John, there has been a ton of buzz with things going on with the Tennessee Titans. The first thing I want to get into with you is the trade of Kevin Byard on Monday. Is that something that you saw coming? Did it take you by surprise, or were you looking at that and saying, that's a move that they really needed to make with where they're at this season?
I didn't have any idea they were going to trade Byard. No, I don't think anybody did. I think it's great for him. I think it's good for them. He didn't play as well last year as he had in previous seasons. And, you know, once you ask a guy to take a pay cut, his heart subconsciously may not be in it. So it's a good deal for him to go to play with a Super Bowl contender. I'm guessing he'll be rejuvenated. And then for them to get two, I read their conditional picks and a younger safety, I think it was good for them because I don't think a lot of people think they're throwing in a towel on the season. I don't see it. But it did surprise me.
So that's what I was going to get into next with you, and you kind of tapped into that a little bit, John, is do you see this as them waving the white flag? Because I've been hearing reports from different outlets. Diana Russini says that there's not a lot of teams interested in Derrick Henry, and then I see Jordan Schultz coming out and saying that there are some teams interested in Derrick Henry. Do you see this as the beginning of a potential fire sale for the Titans, and then they would really be signaling that they're waving the white flag? Do you think they're going to do that?
No, I don't think they're going to do that, not playing in the AFC South. The guy that they need to look at, of course, is Will Levis. They've got to find out this season if Mike Vrabel and Rand Cawthorn think that he can play the way they hope he can play. Otherwise, they're going to be in position to draft a quarterback in the first round because this is such a talented, deep class of quarterbacks. And even if they finish, say, 10th in the draft order, you're still going to have a chance at anybody other than Caleb Williams and Drake May. Plus, they could always trade up. But that's, to me, the most important thing that they have to do the rest of the season. And I think if you're playing a young quarterback, you want players around him. You don't want to trade Derrick Henry. You don't want to trade other players because then you're not maximizing the strengths around him. He needs to play with a full deck, not a half deck or an empty deck. And so I think because of that, I'll be surprised if Derrick Henry is traded.
We're talking to our good man John McClain this morning. John, let me ask you this about quarterbacks and rookies and starters. You were there with Chris Chandler and Steve McNair. Was there ever a more just disruptive one versus two quarterback exchange that you ever witnessed? Because Chandler didn't like McNair, and for obvious reasons.
Well, first of all, Steve had signed a 7-year contract. You can't do that anymore. So they had plenty of time to sit him. And the offensive coordinator was Jerry Rome, and Jerry had coached Chris Chandler in Arizona and signed him to be the bridge quarterback till they believed McNair was ready to play. The intention was never to play Steve as a rookie. Spot appearances here and there, which is what they did. They were still respectable as a team, but they thought Steve needed a lengthy indoctrination into the NFL. And then when Chris Chandler was one of the most unpopular players I've ever seen, and a lot of players started to talk off the record to the media saying, you know, we need McNair to start. We need to let the rookie take his lumps and his bruises and get some experience. And so they did it a little bit. And then basically, I remember later, Steve said that Chris Chandler did not help him during those two seasons that they were together. And it was apparent when Steve got on the field his second year that he could be special But I think the time not throwing him to the Wolves, considering he came from a lesser conference and played at Jackson. Was he at Jackson State? I can't even remember
Alcorn.
Now.
Alcorn State.
Alcorn State, yeah. And so playing there, I think Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher's plan worked out pretty well.
You know, we talk about putting rookies out there, John, throw them to the fire. You know, Peyton Manning in 98 was terrible, but the payoff was what he did next year. Now, I'm not comparing Peyton Manning to Will Levis, but at some point, don't you need to go through that fire as a quarterback? Why not now?
Of course they need to go through it. And when they think he can handle it, he will. And they've got to see how much he can do. And they got to see things like, how does Levis respond when he screws up? How does he respond when a teammate screws up? How does he respond to getting his tail kicked? You know, what does he do in pressure situations? I've watched all this with C.J. Stroud. I've been watching it with quarterbacks of this with the Oilers organization going back to 77. Now I've been watching it with the Texans from David Carr on through C.J. Stroud, including Deshaun Watson. And there's so many things that coaches need to see. The coaching is so important for a rookie quarterback. The quarterback coach coaches him more than anybody. He's like a psychoanalyst. He's got to be able to keep that quarterback's confidence up, pat him on the back, kick him in the butt. But they're going to have to watch Levis. And he's going to be exciting because he's big and strong. And as he told us at the combine, he's got a cannon for an arm. And so at some point, he's going to be playing because they need to see him. I talked about this on my show in Houston this morning, that I expect by the time the Titans and the Texans play two times in December, it'll be C.J. Stroud versus Will Levis.
Well, you're exactly right there. John, let me ask you this. You know so much about the NFL. It's so fantastic talking to you every week. Rand Carthon, are you surprised he didn't talk to the media about the trade of Byard? Do GMs typically do that or typically stay away? But if you're a new GM, wouldn't you want to talk and say, here's what we're doing? I find that a little bit odd.
GMs like here, Nick Caserio, he believes draft time is for the general managers. Training camp begins, it's for the coaches. And so when they make moves here, it's the head coach who talks about it. And Caserio will talk to start training camp, to start the season, and during the bye week, and we won't hear from him again till at the end of the season. So any deals they make, it's the head coach talking about it. And it just depends on the team's philosophy. And Mike Vrabel's the face of the franchise, so of course Mike's going to be the one talking about it.
Last one here for you until we got to go to break, John. There's been a big firestorm when it came to Mike Vrabel going up during the bye week to New England and some of the comments that he was making. In your time covering the NFL, have you ever seen a head coach of a team go and get celebrated by a team that he had played for or had been involved with in the middle of a season? Have you ever seen anything like that? And do you make anything of it?
I don't make anything of it at all. Patriots had their you always have your Hall of Fame or your team ring of honor during the season. You have it, of course, when you have a game so the fans can celebrate it as well. If you're putting Mike Vrabel in there, it's going to be during the season. Mike's not going to turn it down. I'm sure they took that into consideration. I think it's great for Mike. I know he's very proud of it, but no, I didn't think twice about him going up there other than the fact that I was happy that he was honored. It was only a matter of time, but they don't do it in the off season. And if the Titans were better, I can't imagine that anybody up there would have given a rat's you know what about Mike going up there.
Absolutely. We will have a whole nother segment coming up next with John McClain. So stick in here with us getting into the AFC South, the Titans, and the rest of the NFL. But before we go, Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 p.m. See your Predator star players up close and personal. Get autographs and pictures. This week's special guest is Predators' brand new head coach, Andrew Burnett. Smashville Live is brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company. More with John McClain up next. next. Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for our College Football Game of the Week presented by Twin Peaks as Vanderbilt takes on Ole Miss at 6:30 p.m. with pregame beginning at 5 p.m. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for all the scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer. Welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show. Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe until tomorrow. We got John McClain on with us for the rest of this segment. And, John, I got to tell you, going into this NFL season, I thought the AFC South was going to be one of the worst divisions in all of football. And now that we're almost midway through the season, I'm kind of thinking that it's a lot better than what we thought. Seeing what you've seen, where do you think the state of the division is and who are real contenders that are coming out of the AFC South?
I agree. I thought it would be either the worst or next to worst to the NFC South. Fortunately, those two divisions are playing each other, and so it's very competitive. And the Texans went to Jacksonville and just pounded the Jaguars. Caught everybody by surprise, caught us by surprise. They had started 0-2. And so starting with that one, they're 3-1, and the only loss was at Atlanta on a field goal with no time left. And the Jaguars have not lost since then. And yet they have not – Trevor Lawrence has not played a great game from start to finish. Everybody expected him to take the big leap, be an MVP candidate. He's hurt, but he was the leading rusher in the last game. And so are they beatable? Yeah, they play here on November 26th. Texans could win that game, and that's like – two victories because of the tiebreaker. We never had any idea the Texans could possibly compete for the division title or a wild card berth. You know, still to me, they're 3-3, 3-1 over the last four. They play at Carolina. Then they come back here against Tampa. Based on tankathon.com, they're tied for the second easiest schedule in the league. Most of the teams in this division and the NFC South have easy schedules because they play each other. I think that the Colts have a better chance to win more games with Gardner Minshew as the quarterback than they would have with Anthony Richardson, who is a rookie with so little starting experience at Florida. And they're going to be competitive. I mean, they got screwed on calls at the end of the game against the Browns, and they lost that game by 1 point. So they're capable of beating teams. Texans are, when I look at their schedule, Texans' toughest game's at Cincinnati. It would have been the Jets now with Aaron Rodgers out. But and I think the Titans, when they're playing Malik Willis or Will Levis, you know, they know they're going to lose a lot of games. And I don't know if Tannehill's coming back. It seems they need to look at the young guys. But that's why I said I don't think they'll trade Derrick Henry. When you're playing young players, you need players around them who can help him, especially on a running game, because a running game is a young quarterback's best friend. But I'm fired up about this division. I have to admit, I picked the Texans to go 6-11, doubling last year's win total. And now when I look at the schedule, I could see 9 or 10. And that, as long as C.J. Stroud stays healthy, and that means they would be in contention.
About Arthur Smith, the job he's doing with the Falcons. Year number three was down there. Arthur Blank, from what I've gathered, really likes Arthur Smith and is kind of letting him like, all right, I know it's going to take a while and do your thing. They got a big one against Tampa Bay. They come to town on Sunday and take on the Titans. But your perspective and your thoughts on the job Arthur Smith is doing.
Bijan Robinson, they're being investigated because he wasn't on the injury report and then he didn't play much. They've got a two-headed monster at running back. You know, Arthur's philosophy is the philosophy they've had with the Titans under Mike Vrabel. You got to run the ball and to protect an inexperienced quarterback. Desmond Ridder had the best game in his two-year career against the Texans. He was tremendous, yet they had to win on a field goal with no time left. They're not going to score a lot of points because they run it so much. They're playing sound defense. It's almost like they're capable of beating anybody in their division and in the AFC South. It's when they branch out, they could get in trouble. So I think it's going to be so interesting to watch them play the Titans, because you can have some really good running backs on the field, and you can have quarterbacks who struggle throwing a ball.
John, this Monday night, the Detroit Lions have their first Monday night football game in 5 years. The Raiders come to town. How big of a football game is this for the Lions? Because people are already like, well, they're going to break our heart after what they happened to the Ravens on Sunday. But how big of a football game is this for Detroit, the football team, and the city?
Well, I'm an idiot, because last week I said on some shows that I thought Detroit was the best team in the NFC. And then the Lions were eviscerated at Baltimore. Best game, one of the best games Lamar Jackson has played in his career. So now they're going home. I fully expect them to rebound. The Raiders are not very good. Josh McDaniels is struggling as a head coach for the second time. He may be, you and I could coach Tom Brady. And it's almost like he's an aberration. So I expect the Lions will just pound the Raiders, and the fans will be frothing at the mouth because of this experience. And I can't wait to see them on Thanksgiving, because the Lions have won one playoff game since the 50s. So you can see why the fans up there are fired up. And I can't wait for Thanksgiving. First time I've ever said I was more fired up about seeing the Lions on Thanksgiving than the Cowboys.
That's fantastic. One more for me, John. We can put the obituary away right now for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, they've rallied. You know, they beat a good Niners team on Monday. Or are we just going to wait for more heartbreak for this football team?
They won 11 one-score games last year, lost a one-score game in the playoffs, and really struggled in one-score games. But that was impressive. And they did it without their best player, Justin Jefferson. And Kirk Cousins had a great game in primetime, which he had not done. That division's terrible other than Detroit. So are they capable of competing for a wild card? Maybe. You know, they still got a losing record. But there was talk about them trading Cousins. Nobody's going to trade for Kirk Cousins. His contract's going to be up. Nobody's going to sign him to an extension. So he's there. And if they keep playing like that, they got a chance to get the playoffs again. It just won't be as the division champion.
So a big storyline here in Nashville, John, is that a lot of Titans fans and media members are scared to put Will Levis at the helm for the Titans because of how bad the offensive line were. And one of my rebuttals to that is I watched the Houston Texans take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have a really good pass rush. And they were missing, you know, Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard. And they were basically going out there with a practice squad offensive line. Number one, should Titans fans be scared that Will Levis can get ruined behind this offensive line for the Titans? And two, what did the Houston Texans and C.J. Stroud do to kind of combat that and get over that hurdle?
I've never seen a team suffer injuries in the offensive line like the Texans have this season. They're getting healthier now. But at that game when they played Pittsburgh, they were coming off their victory at Jacksonville, I thought they were going to get – that Stroud would get annihilated by T.J. Watt and Highsmith and the best pass rush duo in the league. And they were playing their third left tackle, their fourth guard, their third center, and their third right tackle. And the only player they had that was a starter was the right guard. And yet T.J. Watt, he had two – he didn't have a sack. He didn't have a quarterback hit, and he had two tackles. They did a great job coaching him. The wide receivers had to block. Tight ends had to block. It was just a tremendous coaching job. And then Stroud got rid of the ball quick. And he doesn't have Levis's running ability. Stroud can run if he has to, but he likes to stay in the pocket. And that's much easier for an offensive lineman than if you have a rookie running around there on a panic mode. So I think you mentioned Peyton Manning earlier. I think Peyton had 28 interceptions as a rookie, and they were terrible. And he said he wouldn't trade that experience. He took a beating, but he learned from it. And I think Levis, when he's out there, no matter what happens to him, it's going to be a learning experience. And the good thing is he's big and he's strong and he can run. And you know he's going to do a lot of check downs. You know they're going to want him to get rid of the ball quick, early on, they'll probably have him throw deep to show that cannon that he's got to keep the defense honest. But I can't wait to see Levis. After watching all the highlights before the draft, thinking there was a chance the Texans could end up with him in some way, I want to see him on the field.
Last one here for you, John, and this is just kind of a general NFL question. You know, we kind of know who the contenders are when it comes to the Eagles, the 49ers, and the Chiefs. And we kind of know the teams that are going to be at the top of the draft, a la the Carolina Panthers and company. What is a team that is really fascinating to you that necessarily you don't know if they're a contender, you don't know if they're a pretender, but they're at this stage in the season where you're really intrigued by them and they could be a kind of surprise this year? What's a team that kind of comes off in that way to you?
The Chargers, because the Chargers have so much talent. They have a great quarterback, and they got a losing record. They've been a terrible disappointment. Brandon Staley's job is always on the line, but they just got too much talent to continue to lose. And I would expect they're going to knock some people off that are contenders. And I still think when all's said and done, they'll compete for a wild card berth. And they're the opposite of the Steelers. The Steelers are 4-2. I watched the Texans just hammer them. And Mike, you look at their team and you're like, how are they doing this? And they're 4-2, and the Chargers, I think, are 2-4. Those are two teams that one has been a big story in a good way, and the other one a big story in a bad way. Both could make the playoffs. Both could miss the playoffs.
That's John McClain, Sports Radio 610 down in Houston. John, always appreciative of you coming on the station. Thank you for all of your insight and joining us this morning.
Hey, Joe, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me, as always.
That's John McClain again down in Houston. We are going to react what John McClain said about Will Levis and the Titans, and we're going to continue that conversation coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by Regal Realty Group. But before we go, join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern, located across from Bridgestone Arena Plaza, this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans' Week 8 matchup against the Falcons and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. The Chase and Big Joe Show. Junior Riddle in for Chase McCabe here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is from Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25. Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, Nashville's largest axe throwing venue, located downtown at 648 Fog Street. Welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show. Junior Riddle in for Chase McCabe today. He will be back with us tomorrow. But the topic of the day has been the report from Ian Rappaport saying that he has sources that are telling him that Will Levis is going to get the bulk of the workload when it comes to being the starting quarterback against the Atlanta Falcons. Big Joe, we have gotten so much reaction about this on the text line. The fans seem to be excited about this move, and they're ready to move towards a new direction with this team being 2-4 coming out of the bye week.
Well, I think it's time, you know, let's go run and get Will Levis out there. You've seen enough from Malik Willis. You know, this report, you know, Rappaport's usually 99% correct in what he says. And so why not Will Levis? That's why he drafted him. He's been on the team now. You know, I know he didn't play in the exhibition games, but, you know, he's been in the facility. He's been around. He's been working out. I mean, all the stuff you need. He just needs the experience, and he gets it on Sunday. And that's why I wish Vrabel would come out. Maybe he could come out today and say, you know, we're going with Will Levis. And here's what I need. I need a guy's around to play better than they've ever played before. Call out everybody. Then say, you know what, fans, we're coming out of those Oilers throwbacks on Sunday. We need you. Let's make this a true home field advantage environment and go out and let's do this all together. I mean, that would just fire up so many people and get ready with this and give that support behind Will Levis. And it would go far. I mean, it'd be wonderful, but he's not going to do that. So you go out there with Will Levis on Sunday and say, hey, boy, here's your chance. Welcome to the NFL. Let's go.
I completely agree, but a lot of Titans fans and members of the media are worried about putting Will Levis out this early because of how bad this offensive line has been. They're scared of ruining him. So that's why I wanted to ask John McClain when we had him on, because I've seen C.J. Stroud. And again, when you look on paper and you look at the depth chart for the Houston Texans, they got some good names on that offensive line, but it hasn't been like that all season long. And so when I was watching him take on that Steelers team that has a really good pass rush and seeing him have an excellent game and just carve up that Steelers defense, I was just thinking, I'm like, why can't the Titans take that out of the Texans' book and start implementing that with Will Levis? So here's what John McClain had to say when it came to the Texans dealing with good pass rushes while their offensive line was banged up.
I've never seen a team suffer injuries in the offensive line like the Texans have this season. They're getting healthier now. But at that game when they played Pittsburgh, they were coming off their victory at Jacksonville, I thought they were going to get – that Stroud would get annihilated by T.J. Watt and Highsmith and the best pass rush duo in the league. And they were playing their third left tackle, their fourth guard, their third center, and their third right tackle. And the only player they had as a starter was the right guard. And yet T.J. Watt, he had two – he didn't have a sack. He didn't have a quarterback hit. And he had two tackles. They did a great job coaching him. The wide receivers had to block. Tight ends had to block. It was just a tremendous coaching job. And then Stroud got rid of the ball quick. And he doesn't have Levis's running ability. Stroud can run if he has to, but he likes to stay in the pocket. And that's much easier for an offensive lineman than if you have a rookie running around there on a panic mode. So I think you mentioned Peyton Manning earlier. I think Peyton had 28 interceptions as a rookie, and they were terrible. And he said he wouldn't trade that experience. He took a beating, but he learned from it. And I think Levis, when he's out there, no matter what happens to him, it's going to be a learning experience. And the good thing is he's big and he's strong and he can run. And you know he's going to do a lot of check downs. You know they're going to want him to get rid of the ball quick. Early on, they'll probably have him throw deep to show that cannon that he's got to keep the defense honest. But I can't wait to see Levis. After watching all the highlights before the draft, thinking there was a chance the Texans could end up with him in some way, I want to see him on the field.
Again, that was John McClain talking about what the Texans have done with their early offensive line injuries and how that they've overcome that, and maybe the Titans can do the same with Will Levis. So what was your reaction to hearing that? Did that give you a little bit more confidence, Joe, about the potential in what this Titans offense can do, even though they do have a lackluster offensive line?
Well, I mean, sure. It's, you know, John's seen this league for 45 plus years. I mean, he knows what's going on. And so you see the quarterback get out there, you know, you saw Levis, we saw the scouting tape on him and everything. Just let's let him go. Let's play and do it. And you know, how many elite offensive lines are there in the National Football League?
Maybe six, maybe seven.
You know, I mean, so he's going to get hit. I don't get this. Let's protect him. Look, man, if you get beat up by the bully in the schoolyard and he's hitting you with left hooks, and the next day, what are you going to come back with, right? You're going to protect yourself from the left hook and go after. I mean, I know it's a stupid comparison, but you want to you got to take the lumps and bruises, you know? I mean, you got to. And you got there, they toughen you up, and you go out and you play good. And I mean, who says he can't go out there Sunday and just be fantastic? I mean, if he's fantastic on Sunday, I don't think we'll ever see Tannehill and Malik Willis again unless there's an injury. So I'll be the biggest Will Levis fan on Sunday just because I want him to succeed.
Yeah, I want him to succeed, and there's a couple reasons why I think he will. I mean, this year we have seen Tannehill and his mobility take major steps back because of his ankle injury last year, and now that he's re-aggravated it, I feel like you got to throw his mobility, his movement around the pocket just out the window. I mean, he just doesn't do it anymore. Another thing that I'm seeing Ryan Tannehill do is not necessarily as bad as Malik Willis has been with this, but I see Ryan Tannehill holding the ball too long. He's not letting it rip. And again, your wide receivers don't have to have separation for them to be open in the NFL. It's on the quarterback to throw the receiver open. And so when I look at what Will Levis does well, one, at this stage, he is more mobile than Ryan Tannehill. Number two, he gets the ball out quickly. I know we only saw a short stint with him against the Bears. I think he had 30-something reps in that game. But what I did notice is that he got the ball out quick. He made his reads fast. And that's exactly what you have to do when you have a bad offensive line. And number three, this is going to force the Titans to get back to Derrick Henry in the running game. A rookie's best friend, a rookie quarterback's best friend, I should say, is the running game. And when the Titans make Derrick Henry the focal point of their offense, which is what they're built to do, is when they're at their best. Combining all of those aspects together, I don't see why it's so hard for people in this town to think, this could be a better offensive product with the kid in at the helm.
I agree. I mean, that's nothing else to add to that. Go out there and play the game on Sunday and play it the best you can do that. And, you know, I'm sounding like Vrabel today. I'm seeing a bunch of nothing, but I don't know what else you can add to this. Just the fact that it's out there now. Don't try to hide it. Here's what you got to do. I mean, they've known for 2 weeks. They probably know him for longer than that. And go out there and play. Luckily, they're playing Falcons team, not the best team in the National Football League. It's a home game, you know, coming off the bye weeks. You've got all these different things you can do to prepare Will Levis. And just go for it on Sunday and see what happens. I mean, and then hopefully whoever replaces Kevin Byard at safety does well and they get a win. I mean, if they get a win and Will Levis plays great, that's going to shut up so many people. And then Vrabel could come next week and beat his chest because they got a short week, right?
Yeah. Or
they play Pittsburgh next week?
Yeah, so they got Atlanta on Sunday, and then they travel to Pittsburgh for Thursday night football.
Hey, man, right back in the fire. Right back in the fire. You go out, you play, right back in the fire and see what you can do. Then you get, you know, more rest after that going forward. So I love it. Let's roll with them. Let's get it done. And, again, I'll be the biggest Will Levis fan on Sunday. He'll come out. Can you imagine Will Levis's first win? Rocking the Oilers throwbacks.
Man.
I mean, it's a great story.
Man,
it's a great story.
That would be huge because, you know, all those images of guys in the Oilers uniforms, they're like, oh, we won't see Will Levis in that, yada, yada, yada. It's going to be Tannehill's right? Show. And then look at what's happening now. He's going to be the main starter in the big day that everybody's been waiting for these spectacular, gorgeous uniforms to be unveiled. And now you also get to see your brand new quarterback go out there and see what he can do. Dustin from Hopkinsville. I mean, this guy has been spamming us throughout this entire show on the text line. Absolutely
love it.
Love it. He has sent in multiple highlight videos of Will Levis from college back when he was healthy and had a little bit of better players and offensive line and all that stuff around him. He goes, another thing about Levis, dude's built for tough. Don't believe. Watch his highlight reel from college. Ben also said this, going back to the offensive line and how it doesn't matter, let the guy play. He's saying it's entirely possible that none of the linemen on the Titans roster today are starting caliber except maybe Skoronski. By the time they fix all four position, Levis's first 25 starts will likely be in the rearview mirror. Again, it's going to take a while for this thing to be rebuilt. Like you don't see a lot of teams rebuild an offensive line in one offseason. So it's going to take a while, and you can't just sit here and hold the kid back in fear of what could happen. You got to let it rip, and you got to see what you got.
Got it. Coming up next, Junior, what do we have?
Coming up next, we are going to play America's favorite game show, Celebrity Birthdays, wrap up with a few final comments about the Titans, about Will Levis, and all that good stuff. This is going to be my final day with you, Big Joe, so I'm hoping to roll out of here with back-to-back celebrity birthday victory. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Love it, man.
All right. We are coming up next with that. You're listening to Chase and Big Joe Show. Junior Riddle in for Chase McCabe here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game and Chase McCabe for the grand opening of Prince's Hot Chicken at the brand new Tanger Outlets in Antioch this Friday from noon to 2 p.m. Come hang out with the suit for a chance to win Preds tickets and enjoy the best hot chicken in Nashville from Prince's Hot Chicken. Nashville's original hot chicken Restaurant. Go check that Ooh-wee. Out. I don't know about you. I'm big Prince Hot Chicken fan.
I love Prince's Hot Chicken. The problem though is that once I eat it, I have to go sit in the creek for a week.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I try not to. Have it in spurts, right? But it's fantastic. Prince is the best. So yes,
every once in a while, leisure to go in and get some of the original hot chicken in Nashville. So go check out Chase McCabe this coming Friday out there at the New Tanger Outlets. That's going to be really cool to for them to open that up. But big day, Big Joe. I mean, we got the NFL Network on here in the studio, and I know you're down in Florida with your Aunt May playing Spider-Man.
She's still taking a nap.
but no,
it's up at one for Judge Wapner.
Oh yeah, not waking up early for Judge Judy.
No, not today.
But no, the NFL Network. I know. Titans fans are always complaining about how this team never gets any coverage from the national media. I have seen Derrick Henry, I have seen Will Levis, and I have seen Ian Rappaport all over Good Morning Football this morning talking about the Titans. So they are making some big headways that we are not accustomed to seeing this morning.
You know what else we're not accustomed to seeing? What? Celebrity birthdays. Hit it, Nick Frazier! All right, Junie.
Let's get it. I'm ready to go back-to-back today, Big Joe.
All right, got to get them within two. All right, our first birthday is Nancy Cartwright. She is the voice of Bart Simpson. How old is she today?
Ooh, I'm going to say 56.
63.
66. Guys, actor Adam Goldberg, he was in Saving Private Ryan. He was in Friends for a little bit. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Let me go 64.
58.
53. Come on, guys. Craig Robinson, Daryl from The Office. How old is he?
Daryl from The Office. Oh, man.
Come on. Did you watch The Office?
Yes. He's the big guy.
Yeah, he's the warehouse supervisor.
I'm going to say he's got to be. I'm going to say 48.
Ooh.
He might be older than that.
I'm going to go two lower. I'm going to go 46.
52.
Ah.
You guys are terrible today. That's okay.
I'm closer today than I was the other day.
All right, Junie, I know that you're a Katy cat. Katy Perry's birthday's today.
Oh, she is a celeb crush. Katy Perry is 33.
Ooh, I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to go 38.
39.
Hey, all right.
Dr. Crane rolling through that. Singer Sierra. Isn't she married to Russell Wilson?
She is. She is.
How old is she today?
She's got to be a little bit older. Maybe she's 44.
Let's see. Russ Wilson is what, 41, right? Something like that.
No. He's in his
mid-30s. Mid-30s? I don't know. I mean, he plays like he's in his 40s. I'm gonna go with the lucky number. I'm just gonna go 37.
She's 38. Dr. Crane. Back to back.
I don't know why I thought she was older. Didn't she have like a bunch of songs that came out in the early 2000s?
Yeah, but she was still young.
No idea.
It is what it is.
Marion Cunningham, the mom on Happy Days. Today's her birthday.
69. 81.
95.
Wow, really?
The lead singer of Sawyer Brown, Mark Miller, who lives in Nashville.
I'm going to go 72.
76.
65. Man. Gosh, you guys. Junie, you're doing terrible.
I can't even get on the board today.
Drummer Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
57.
52.
62. You guys, come on, man.
I'm like five off every time.
You are. So this time, get five closer. Country singer Shelley Wright.
I'm thinking 62, so I'm going to say 67.
Shelly Wright, we're going to go 51.
53. Junie, go the other way, man.
Ah, man.
All right, we got two more, and we'll get it out of here. Bobby Knight, famous basketball coach.
81.
I'm going to go 86.
83. Junie.
There we go. There we go.
James Carville, the crazy political commentator from Louisiana. How old is he?
Say his name again.
James Carville.
Carville. I don't know who that is. Sounds like an old head. I'm going to go 71.
I'm going to go 73.
He's 79. Oh, Dr. Boy. Crane, you win this episode.
Wait, whoa, wait, we have one more birthday, Joseph.
Oh, my gosh.
Joe Dubin. Right. How old is Joe Dubin today?
Yeah, Junie, go. How old am I today?
55.
I'm going to go one lower, 54.
Well, do we have to go how we feel like or how we really are?
Oh, no. He is really 54. Going to be.
I'm 55.
Hey!
I think by default, that should push me over the edge.
But that's a question. How old do you think you would be if you didn't know how old you were?
Oof, right now?
Right? Like 78?
I'm feeling like 34 today.
Body feels like 48 to me, and I look like a 12-year-old to some people. So depends on how you see what vantage point of me. I don't know.
Well, I see you as Dr. Crane. That's all I know. And
thank
that you're
you.
A
you don't look you don't look 12 to us. You don't look 12 to us, Frazier. Either way, can I take the default victory, Frazier? Can I get two in a row since I got Joe's birthday?
I mean, you're still down one. But okay, sure.
Were you up 3-1?
Yes, I was. Yeah. Okay.
Then I lost strike and score. Then I lose. I'll take credit for losing. Either way.
Yeah, Junie, you were 0-18. You got Bobby Knight's birthday, which you should have because you being from Kentucky and Bobby Knight was a basketball coach in Indiana. That makes sense.
Yes. No, I do know my college basketball, so that did help. That did help. So either way, another bad performance from me. I will be out of the seat for the rest of the week. The suit is returning from his Las Vegas trip, so he will be back starting tomorrow. Mike Vrabel will be speaking at the podium at 11 o'clock, so we're going to get out of here a little bit early. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace are coming up next. This has been the Chase and Big Joe Show. Junie Riddle filling in.
But before you go, as we say every day to all of our guys out there, listen, we love you guys. We're here for you. If you're struggling, need to talk to somebody, please reach out to us. Our world is a better place with you around. Just know that as you go forward today. Junie, love you, man. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Absolutely, Joe. Enjoy your time in Florida with your aunt. That's all the time we have today. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace with Mike Vrabel's press conference.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Coming up next.